Welcome back to another episode of the Codings Pro interview series. My name is Ben Dubose. I'm a staff writer for NACE Publications. I write for Codings Pro Magazine, also Materials Performance Magazine at NACE. In this interview series, we're talking to a wide range of industry experts, thought leaders, people within the protective coatings community that have insight on what's going on in 2020 and what the drivers are going to be for coatings contractors as we move forward. That's what we're doing in our Coatings Pro interview series, which is our focus today in this latest NACE podcast. And as our guest, we've got a guy who definitely has some unique insight on the protective coatings market. His name is Ryan Miller, and he's the director of the Coatings Tools Division at Seymour Midwest. Ryan, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm great. I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
No problem. You're always a good resource for us. I like to interview you for some of our supplements that we have at Coatings Pro. We have our equipment supplement going live in August, which you were a good resource, background information for anyone who wants to check that out, CoatingsProMag.com. You can get all the details there. Before we get into some of the market drivers, what's going on in coatings now that we're in late July 2020, I'll start by, for any of our listeners that might not be aware, explain the niche of Seymour Midwest and its background as it pertains to our audience. What is it that your company does to serve coatings contractors? You can also talk a little bit about what your specific role is as the leader of the Coatings Tools Division.
So Seymour Midwest, we are a family-owned manufacturer of long-handled tools, established in 1872. So I think we're actually knocking on the door of 148 plus years in business. So we've got a little bit of longevity behind us. So that's something that we're very proud of. And again, so our primary business is we're a long-handled tool company. So anything that you would see in a traditional hardware or lawn and garden or an industrial supply house, a concrete supply house, so things like shovels, rakes, wheelbarrows, we've got a line of irrigation tools, field and turf tools, is really a majority of our business. And the way most of our readers would probably know and be familiar as far as how do we serve the coatings industry, that is primarily with our Midwest Rake brand. So as of, I think 6 or 7 years ago, Midwest Rake used to be a company, and we purchased Seymour Manufacturing and integrated the two companies together. We're through that process now. And so Midwest Rake purchased Seymour Manufacturing. And that's really how we serve the coatings industry. If you polled 100 different commercial painting contractors or resinous flooring contractors, I would venture to say probably 95 or 97 of them would, what kind of tools are you familiar with or what do you use? Midwest Rake would probably be, we've been around for 25 plus years. So just really dedicated, and just we are coatings people. That's what we wake up every morning trying to really focusing on. And so that's really what most of the readers would be familiar with. I came on board about 6 years ago. I was actually a protective and marine rep. So I'm a NACE certified, NACE 3 certified inspector. And really, we identify just having that background, understanding the industry, understanding the wide range of just applications and rheologies and chemistries and just the challenges that have presented themselves into the coatings industry. Tools and applicators, as we know, can play a huge part in the success of an installation and a project. So really, I'd say we're known for quality products, for being very innovative. We've got a lot of exclusive patented items, and then really the breadth of assortment. So if you go through our catalog and our offering, there's really no one in the world that I would say would have the focus and the breadth and assortment that that we do. We just choose to really focus on that and try to be a good partner to the industry and serve it in every way that we can. Really, I wake up every morning and just ask myself, hey, is there a better way to do things? Can we, can we bring tools to the market that might be more accurate, or, you know, easier to clean, or have a, you know, a longer longevity, or, you know, total cost of ownership, or just trying to ask ourselves, hey, is there a better way to get these projects completed?
Yeah, that's a good answer. And I think you're a valuable resource for our podcast, because for us at Codings Pro, what we're trying to do, we're trying to help contractors improve their bottom line. And you have to look at it from a fairly similar perspective, because as someone that's developing and supplying these tools, you have to understand what a contractor needs in order to be successful if you want to reach that market. So I think a good place to start is by the feedback that you've heard. In it can be months, it can be years. You mentioned that your current role, you've been there for 6 years, but I know in your capacity, you have to talk a lot to various coatings contractors. So what type of things have you heard as far as the types of tools they might need, what their challenges are from a technical perspective? When you're speaking to a coatings contractor about their manual tools and what their needs are, what is it that you frequently hear as far as some of the themes?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting time, that we've all went through over the last 3 or 4 months with COVID, and even more recently with that, with some of the, the civil unrest. And I would say that the main thing is just a real desire and a realization that you've got to be better. We're just looking for ways to be more efficient. You've got to plan better. All of these projects, they're running on tighter schedules. They're more dynamic. You may be more trades working on top of each other, and there's a lot less room for error. So, I mean, I can, a month ago, and sometimes there are things that don't even, it's really outside your control, but just the realization that we have to plan, we have to take those, as many of those things out of the scenario as possible. So even things like with shipping, so whether you're shipping your material to the job site, or, tools, or getting your manpower, I know for one thing that's affected our business, in order to get our tools to distributors and dealers and even to job sites, is, and not a lot of people think of it, we've just experienced where some UPS and some FedEx and some couriers, with the COVID and the civil unrest, they don't really guarantee, so when you've got next day airs, or, expedited things, and even when you put it on an LTL carrier, that's just been a real challenge of, before COVID, before the civil unrest, I mean, they kind of wipe their hands of it, and they say, hey, these are unique times, unless you want to pay for a guarantee. And that's really come back, that can really affect business when you've got tools and supplies and materials not showing up when they're supposed to be there. So just the need for planning is one, and just to be more efficient. I would say the contractors that are really the most successful, just really trying to dig deep and try to find ways to get a grasp on true costs. So if there's a more efficient way to do it, faster return to service, or, something that's going to cut down on labor, I would say these guys, the contractors are all ears. So they're wanting to try to find a better way to get these projects completed. Another thing would be the training. It's really, we brought in, we've done several focus groups, and we bring in contractors throughout the U.S. What keeps you up at night? And by far, a very common theme is getting that skilled labor and that skilled workforce trained, and then keeping and retaining them. And so really what happens when, and the big thing is everybody knows that's a goal, but what happens, when things outside your control, when you can't do that, when you've got 4 projects on the books, and you've only got 3 or 4 or 5 people that have that experience, invariably you've got to bring on new people. And so really what we've tried to do is, can tools, can applicators play a small part, or, you know, a part in making it a little easier, making it a little more intuitive, taking out some of the error factors, you know, being more precise, you know, having a, you know, we've launched a couple squeegees that have been very popular that are more precise, and they have a milled color-coded blade system that, instead of having a notched size that we talk about, a 3/16 or a 3/8, well, how much material does that leave behind? Our speed squeegee and our easy squeegee have got a very common sense intuitive that someone that doesn't know anything about coatings, if they know how much, you know, wet film thickness and wet film spread rate they need to put something down, they know the proper tool to use. So just trying to find things like that. And then I would say probably the last thing with the COVID is, as far as what's keeping people up at night, they're crew safeties. You know, they're on job sites. There's so much, I'm going to say, conflicting information. Really, it depends by geography. You know, your crews and your manpower is your most valuable asset, and they want to protect and preserve that. And they want to do the right thing. And so, really, what is the right thing? You know, so just trying to be mindful of, you know, what kind of parameters and limitations and should be, you know, done during this time of COVID. So,
yeah, that's an interesting perspective, and it makes sense, because with training, certainly contractors, representatives, it's harder for anyone to meet in person. I'm sure your travel schedule is nothing like it normally is. So anything that makes tools more user intuitive in the current environment, that's a big deal. Sticking with the theme of COVID, I'll ask you a two-part question. As we're chatting right now, late July 2020, first off, what do you hear from the marketplace about where we are? Because it's such an odd point. We had the initial rush in March and April, in which a lot of things closed down. You had your reopenings. Now, a lot of places around the country are starting to roll things back a little bit again. If cases have started to rise in the summer months, that certainly happened here in Houston, where I'm based. So I'm curious how you've seen that dynamic play out now that we're in late July. It's almost like we're in a third cycle of COVID-19. And then secondly, in the current environment, are there any types of certain jobs or markets that are doing better than others? For example, I suppose infrastructure is something that's fairly essential. I've noticed anecdotally, with traffic a little bit less than you would normally expect due to the pandemic, a lot of these infrastructure providers, they're deciding to move forward on projects because it's less of a disruption than they anticipated. So they're doing even more work during this sort of downtime, if you will. So if you could touch on those angles, number one, just the timing of where things are in July 2020, what it means for business. And then secondly, are there any certain jobs or markets that are better positioned than others for coatings contractors?
Sure. So I would say Seaboard Midwest and Midwest Rake, it was in the same boat as everybody else. It was in April and May that I think we would all like to forget. Things were markedly slow, but our June, we actually had, I believe, what was a record June. July looks equally as busy. And really, a lot of the challenge for us is, we're dealing with the same challenge as everybody else, is, you know, a pared down workforce for varying degrees. So trying to do, you know, get more sales out the door and more product out the door with, in a lot of cases, less manpower. And that's, you know, that's not uncommon. As far as markets, I mean, we do a majority of ours, we're tied very heavily to the resinous flooring industry.
Right.
That's been incredibly strong. So other markets, I mean, obviously the protective marine, we work there. You know, deck coatings and waterproofing, which is very tightly tied with, you know, high value infrastructure, and you can throw DOT and bridge and road work in there. You know, we do decorative concrete. We even work with the road, you know, asphalt and seal coating. So any type of, anytime you've got thick, goopy material that you need to spread out or, you know, apply in some way, we really do touch all those markets. But I mean, resinous flooring has been, it's been incredibly strong. I would say if there was a, commercial, just because of, the strip malls and just the uncertainty there, if there's a weakness or if there's kind of a pause, I would say commercial would be one of those. But, mm-hmm. The in general, the industrial marketplace, which, for us, I kind of view that as, MRO spending. So anytime you've got these plants and they're doing, mm-hmm. They're redoing their floors or repainting their ceilings, food and beverage, of course, is really strong. So in that industrial marketplace, anytime you've got opportunities where you're getting spaces that might not have been able to be freed up in normal times, to where for various reasons, they might be able to get into those spaces, even restaurants,
Yep.
It's been a mixed bag for them. But, I can tell you there's a lot of restaurants that they're taking some opportunities to maybe redo some of their floors and do some remodeling. In the food and beverage with everybody staying at home, and I know my grocery bill went up a lot. Food and beverage.
Yeah.
That's been a very, very strong market. Of course, very, very tied to resinous flooring there. But in general, all of the segments that which we touch have been very good, coming back in June and July. But they were, across the board equally slow in April and May, when everybody was. So
that's a great point about food and beverage that I hadn't fully thought about in a while. I think Stephanie Chiswick, actually mentioned it to me about a restaurant close to her that was doing it because of the downtime. I had forgotten about it. I think about infrastructure first, because we've had a major street repaving project that's close to us. And of course, the explanation is that there's less traffic, so they want to do it because it's less of a disruption. But the same exact theme would hold true, and then some, in food and beverage, because the normal downside, a lot of companies don't want to go in on a new floor because of the shutdown, what it cost them business-wise. Well, now that they're not having people in the restaurant very much, if any, due to the current circumstances, you don't have that downside. So you might as well take care of it and be ready come late 2020, 2021, whenever we get some semblance of normalcy again. So Ryan, I completely agree with you. That makes a lot of sense. And I'm guessing a lot of people in the industry have probably noticed that, or will notice that in the coming weeks and months. As we're wrapping up this podcast, again, I'm Ben Dubose, staff writer with Coatings Pro Materials Performance, NACE Publications Division. We're talking with Ryan Miller of Seymour Midwest, where he's director of the Coating Tools Division. What's the outlook moving forward? We spent a lot of the podcast talking about your time at Seymour, what the company does, the up and down period, or I suppose down and up, of the last few months. What does the future look like in terms of what you guys are trying to do? Fortunately, it seems like there's, as far as COVID goes, it's not going to be around forever. So once we get beyond COVID, what are some of the trends that you're seeing from the coatings market that that Seymour is trying to address?
Yeah, we are positive. As everybody else, we've had challenges, but we're kind of taking the attitude that this too shall pass. I don't think anybody knows the timing of when. But really what's encouraging is just to see just the creativity and how everybody is kind of, I get things from our reps and from our distributors and our dealers, and even things from distributors where their contractors are trying to meet with their clients, just thinking outside the box. And I've seen some of the most incredible, virtual demos and just, sales calls. I've actually heard some inspections and some job walkthroughs done through. It's just, I think it's shown everybody that, you don't always have to jump on a plane. I mean, there is nothing that replaces, personal visits in my mind. But I think what it's really done is kind of showed everybody that, there are other ways to accomplish. And I think what remains to be seen is, how effective this is, so the state of and the way we're doing everything now, I don't know if it will ever go back to, we'll be in a new normal. And I know a lot of, everybody says that, but we're very positive, very encouraged about seeing, our field sales staff and just our distributor partners and dealers, contractors, of just how creative they are. And so, I think we're going to be, the timing is questionable as far as when we kind of move back into being able to travel a little bit more or whatnot. But we're very encouraged. So
that's good to hear. Before you sign off, for any contractor or someone in the industry listening that wants more information from you guys, be it contacting you, information from the company website, whatever it may be, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you or to get more resources from Seymour?
Absolutely. Probably the easiest way is to visit our website, SeymourMidwest.com, and there's a Contact Us tab. You can simply fill that out. It's a few short boxes, and that will eventually find myself, or you can always send me an email direct. I don't mind that at all. I really actually encourage that at Ryan, R-Y-A-N, dot Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R, at SeymourMidwest.com. So Ryan.Miller at SeymourMidwest.com.
Sounds good. Ryan, thank you so much for the time and look forward to catching up with you again down the road.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Great insight there from Ryan Miller, Director of the Coatings Tools Division at Seymour Midwest. And this is where we will bring this episode to a close. As always, thank you for tuning in. We'll have more episodes in our ongoing NACE podcast series in the near future. We've got interview series for both Coatings Pro, which of course today with Ryan being a specialist in the coatings world, and we also have a materials performance interview series as well. So if you subscribe to this ongoing NACE podcast series, that's how you get episodes right when they come out. Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, then you should be able to subscribe, leave a positive review. You get the benefit of episodes as soon as they are fresh and ready for public consumption. And with the positive review, we can distribute it to as wide an audience as possible and keep this successful series going. Thank those of you that have been regular listeners for tuning in. And if you haven't yet, please tell a friend, email someone, share it so we can continue to get the word out about the things that are going on, very positive things for the most part, in the protective coatings and overall corrosion control industries. And if you want more information outside of a podcast format, the best place that you can get it is at our websites. For Coatings Pro Magazine, it's coatingspromag.com. You can check out our equipment supplement, which has an overview of trends within the equipment industry as they pertain to coatings contractors, especially hand tools. That's where Seymour Midwest specializes. So we've got Ryan's input in that coming out in August. That'll be on our website, coatingspromag.com. If you're a subscriber, it is a free subscription to the print magazine, then you should have that arriving in the next few weeks as well. Beyond Coatings Pro, Materials Performance, you can go to materialsperformance.com. And as far as NACE International, for everything pertaining to the corrosion control industry, you can go to www.nace.org and get the latest news there as well. With that, I'll sign off. Again, my name is Ben Dubose, staff writer with NACE Publications. Thanks as always for tuning in, and please come back soon for another episode in our ongoing interview series.